Om namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. I'll just read it. Iti chitvams tatra suyodhanena.
Iti chitvams tatra suyodhanena.
Iti chitvams tatra suyodhanena. Pravrid the kopas puritadhanena. Asat kvita sat sprihani ashila.
Asat kvita sat sprihani ashila.
Chatasa karna anuja sobalena.
Chatasa
iti. Thus.
Uchivan.
While speaking.
Tatra.
Tatra.
There.
Suyodhanena.
Suyodhanena.
By Duryodhan.
Pravrida.
Swollen with.
Swollen with.
Kopa.
Kopa.
Anger.
Anger.
Spurita.
Spurita.
Flapping.
Flapping.
Adarena,
adarena,
lips,
lips.
Asatkrita,
asatkrita,
insulted,
insulted.
So, what's happening here? Who gave class yesterday? Yes. Oh, that's right. And the day before? Does anyone remember what the essence of what he said? Pursuance of the verse in purport of Srila Prabhupada. Does anyone remember? It's hard enough to remember yesterday something that happened, what to speak of 2 whole days ago. There's an incredible drama that's taking place here. This is one of the most powerful parts of the Bhagavatam. It is explaining something that's happened in the Mahabharata, the great intrigue that we will have to say that Krishna in his form of time, Kalosmin Lokachaya Krita, that he initiated leading up to the Battle of Kurukshetra, where Krishna assembled so many of the armed forces of the world together and had them fight each other. And in this way, removing much of the burden of the earth. I think one more, an empty chair is required at this point. Some of the youthful members, yes. Now, all this is going on under Krishna's arrangement. But yet, what's happened at this point is that Vidura has been asked his opinion about what should happen now, because the Pandavas have been driven out by Duryodhana and Dhritarashtra, his father. They've been driven out against the desires of Krishna, acting in irreligious acts. And Vidura who is a member of the palace. He has been asked his advice on what should happen, and he speaks very openly and very boldly, which is often a very dangerous thing to do, especially if you're speaking the truth. There is an old American Indian saying that is, he who speaks the truth must have a fast horse nearby. So this is not a reason. Now I'm going to speak the truth and tell everyone what I think. Yes, and I hate you, and I hate you, and I hate you, and you're like this, and you're like this. Aren't I wonderful for being so straightforward and honest? No. Aren't I, generally speaking, offensive? Because it's not coming from the well-wishingness of the heart, the purity of the heart. So before we speak the truth, we have to first see where it's coming from. Are we the well-wishers of the others? And secondly, is it really truth? Or is it just what truth looks like from my limited point of view, my viewpoint? Because after all, we are tiny, we are insignificant, and we can only view things from our point. So is what I'm thinking the truth just a viewpoint from the viewpoint of a significant soul, insignificant soul, or is it the truth? Is Shastra behind it? So these things always have to be considered. And when one is angry, one doesn't consider anything. It's interesting how anger is such a reflection of sattvagun. Anger is born of rajagano samud bhava, mahashano mahapapma vidyenam mihavarinam. Anger is actually born out of ignorance. And ignorance has a remarkable, but opposite, has remarkable but opposite characteristic of sattvagun. Because in sattvagun, in the mode of goodness, the consciousness is equipoised and focused. But in ignorance, the consciousness becomes focused also. When one is angry, one doesn't see anything other than what one sees. And one can create one can do anything when one is angry, practically speaking. Any horrible thing. And it's not at all goodness. So Vidur was asked about what Duryodhana should do, what Dhritarashtra should do, and he was very much under the influence of his son. Dhritarashtra was under Duryodhana. And he spoke very openly and very straightforwardly, saying you should not listen to Duryodhana, who is offense personified. Personified offense. And Vidura was actually the personification of judgment, proper judgment. You should not listen to Duryodhana, even though he's your son. He is so envious. He's envious of the Pandavas. But he is so envious. He is even envious of Krishna, the Supreme Lord. And the next verse will describe Duryodhana's reaction to this truth. And the next verse describes Vidura's reaction to Duryodhana's words. So
Well, speaking thus, so iti uchivam tatra suyadenena pravriddha kopa spurisha adarena. So Duryodhana, when he heard these words that criticized him, but properly, actually, he was speaking the truth, his lips trembled in anger. What's the word that is anger here in Sanskrit? Kopa. Angered. Asat. Now we're going back to the verse. So this is what's happened. Hearing these words, Duryodhana is so angry. His lips were trembling. Asat. Krita, insulted. Sat, respectable. Sprihaniya Sila, desirable qualities. Shata, vidura. Sa, with. Karna, means? What does karna mean? Very good. What is your name? Who do you like more? Who is your favorite on the altar? Sisi Gwanatai, Jagannath Baladev, Supadhyay. Actually, we shouldn't ask this question because they're all right there. Such a nice name, Gopal. Do you like to chant? Do you play madanga? Would you like to learn? Would you like to learn harmonium also? Gopal. What does Gopal mean?
The cowherd one of the cowherd boys.
Yeah. And you know who is Gopal? Gopal is the name of Krishna. But you knew that. When Krishna was taking care of the cows in Vrindavan, they would call him Gopal. Gopal means protector. He's the protector of the cows. Do you know why he protects the cows? Because he loves them. Because the cows are so nice. They're so gentle. And they take grass and they eat the grass. And they turn it into milk. And we can't eat grass, but we can take the milk and we can offer it to Gopala. We can offer it to Radhabalava. And they are so happy. And milk is so nourishing. Do you drink milk? Yes, very important. Sorry, I got lost. So, Karna and Anuja, younger brothers, Sobalena with Sakuni. While speaking thus, here's the translation. Vidura, whose personal character was esteemed by respected persons, was insulted by Duryodhana, who was swollen with anger and whose lips were trembling. Duryodhana was in company with Karna, his younger brothers, and his maternal uncle, Shakuni. Please repeat. While speaking thus, Vidura, whose personal character was esteemed, means held in high regard,
By respectable persons.
Was insulted by Duryodhana.
Who was swollen with anger.
And whose lips were trembling. Duryodhana was in company with Karna. His younger brothers. And his maternal uncle Shakuni. Here's Srila Prabhupada's short purport.
It is said that giving good counsel to a foolish person causes the fool to become angry, just as feeding milk to a snake only increases its venomous poison. Saint Vidur was so honorable that his character was looked up to by all respectable persons. But Duryodhana was so foolish that he dared to insult Vidur. This was due to his bad association with Shakuni, his maternal uncle, as well as with his friend Karna, who always encouraged Duryodhana in his nefarious acts. Okay, who remembers something from that purport? Raise your hand if you remember something. Raise your hand, I want to see who remembers. Excuse me? Do you remember anything? Yes, raise your hand if you remember something. Okay. Matadi, what do you remember? Mama Shakuni. he was actually trying to ruin the Pandavas, the Kauravas, disguised as a friend, consciously trying to ruin them. So what lesson can we learn from this? Duryodhana was so foolish he dared to insult Vidura. This was due to his bad association with Shakuni and Karna. Now, what lesson can we learn from this? Raise your hand if you will help. Yes.
If you teach foolish people, then the result will be anger. If you feed snake milk, then we have to understand that going to give poison anyway.
More poison. It increases the venom. Very good. You remembered something very important from the purport. So now we have two lessons from these important points. Okay, who can tell me one of the lessons? Because when we read Prabhupada's books, it's not just good stories, and it's not just to even remember what has been said, which is very, very important, but it's also to take lessons and instructions and actually apply those instructions to our life. This is shiksha. Prabhupada is giving shiksha here, instructions. If Srila Prabhupada walked in and sat on Sri Vyasasan, he would speak, and we would listen very carefully, and he would wish that we take those instructions and apply them to our life and act on them. So what, in this very short and simple purport, which is in between some very important verses and very important events in the next few, and when Vidura is going to act, there's such important instructions in his activities for each and every one of us. But what did Prabhupada say? We heard two points that he made that are very important for us to learn in our life and apply to our life and act on them. And therein is the most difficult part. Hearing, of course, is purifying, but acting on what we hear from such an exalted personage, therein is, in one sense, is the secret. Hearing is glorious, and then acting on it is most glorious. So what can we learn? We heard two points that we can learn. So what are the lessons we learn from these? Right? Yes, of course, our Mahatma Prabhu has raised his hand, so.
We should not give counseling to foolish people and envious people.
In fact, this is one of the offenses, to preach the glories of the holy name to those who don't have faith. They can hear the holy name. They can take prasadam. But to preach to such people is namaparad. There's one lecture that I heard. Not a lecture, it was a conversation. And usually when there was a conversation with Prabhupada, he was so powerful and so dominant that he would very much control the conversation. Very much. And he was so strong and so had so much conviction. But there was one conversation I heard. He was speaking to a Buddhist monk. And Prabhupada almost didn't say anything. Because he knew the nature of these Buddhists. This person was very fixed in his impersonal viewpoint. And he would not preach to him. Discerned, he understood that this person was fixed in something impersonal. He would not preach to him. It's interesting if reading the 12th canto of the Bhagavatam, right in the beginning of the 12th canto, there's a description of the kings of Kali Yuga. And in Kali Yuga, there's a gradual degradation of the kings. And because the rulers are degraded and they lose their culture, the society becomes degraded. And when the leaders, the kings, don't have strong values and don't respect culture, then the people naturally follow the leaders. And then everything is finished. Actually, Kali Yuga enters first with the Brahmin boy, whose name was Shringi. So the Brahmin boy, he ended up cursing Maharaj Prakrit. That means he had power. He was potent. But he didn't have culture. He didn't know how to respect the different orders. He didn't know how to respect the king, Maharaj Prakrit. Because the basic principle of the Vanashrama system is respect. Just like in the body, if the head starts feeling itself so superior to the arms and the belly and the legs and doesn't nourish them properly and doesn't respect them properly, then the body is going to be useless and the head's going to suffer too, even though the head houses the brain. Which one would have to say is it gives the direction. But yet, the essence is respect. That's the essence of culture, because if for no other reason, we need each other. We need each other's enthusiasm. We need each other's participation. Otherwise, we suffer. If for no other reason, if respect doesn't come completely natural, because Mahaprabhu taught us to give respect. To give respect and not to expect respect. So if that's not completely natural to us, at least we should know that for our own welfare, we give respect. The perfect example of the dealings between Kshatriya and Brahmins is given in the third canto when Kardama Muni is visited by Swayambhuva Manu, who is the ruler. And the dealings are so respectful. And each is saying wonderful things about the other because of respect. Respect means appreciation. And this is at the heart of Mahaprabhu's teachings, because the heart of Mahaprabhu's teachings is to chant Krishna's names. And he explains the mood, the proper attitude that one should chant Krishna's names in. So the culture entered, the breaking down of the culture entered with someone, a boy who had brahminical power, but he didn't have the maturity to have respect. and therefore Maharaj Pickett was cursed. And then the first chapter of the 12th canto describes all these kings and all these kings, one after another, more degraded, more degraded, more degraded, until there was one who didn't have the Kshatriya heritage. He wasn't born with the mood of a Kshatriya. He was mixed. And therefore things went down. He didn't have the qualities. He didn't have the bravery. He didn't have the Ishwara Bhav. He didn't have the respect for the culture. And then, interestingly enough, it describes how Chandragupta Maurya became the king, and one of the grandson or great grandsons was Maharaj Ashoka, who is very, very famous, of course. And Ashoka's chakra is right on the flag of India. And Ashoka, what happened? The history of Maharaj Ashoka is very interesting, because he had created one of the biggest empires in India from one side to the other. He had conquered. And then in Orissa, there were so many people killed. In that battle, he had a complete change of heart, and he became nonviolent, and then he spread Buddhism all over India. So one would naturally think, oh, this is wonderful. He gave up the fighting and his ambitious warrior spirit for nonviolence. So everyone nowadays thinks that's so wonderful, but by becoming a Buddhist, he completely the king destroyed the culture, because they didn't accept the Vedas, and without an authority, there's nothing to judge right and wrong from. It's everyone's viewpoint. Well, if you go to any internet forum, everyone says, "Well, I think this." Well, I think especially if you talk, if there's a religious forum, it gets very, very heavy with or a political one. But anything degrades into simple arguments, because there's no respect. There's no authority there. It's just, I think, even the people will fight over, and this, I use this example all the time, over camera lenses. Is this camera lens good? And this camera lens, someone will come on and say, this is the greatest lens and everyone should buy it. And then someone will say, we support that. And then inevitably, someone comes on the other side and says, this is the worst lens. Anyone who buys it is a fool and a rascal. And then those people and so on, they come back. And almost every event turns into a fight, because it's my strong opinion against your strong opinion, and then not only are the opinions there, but by not agreeing with me, my prestige is challenged, because there is no absolute authority that is the reference point. That's Shastra. So in this way, just by a non-violent Buddhistic king, which everyone will say nowadays is so wonderful, culture is destroyed, because the authority, the central point, the reference point is destroyed. So, Prabhupada wouldn't, going back to what we were speaking about, so Prabhupada wouldn't preach to this Buddhist man. It's a room conversation. Because he was a fixed impersonalist. Even if he heard Prabhupada's words, he would say yes, 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 but he would completely turn them around until they meant something completely different in his own mind. So going back to the purport, which point were we speaking on that we all learned from the purport? Which point from Prabhupada's words? Does anyone remember what the reference was? Do you remember to the purport? Giving counsel to someone foolish or envious. Because it will turn out just the opposite. So it's a point. Now, what was the second point that was brought up? Yes, from the Prabhupada said.
One becomes foolish because of
Yes. one be foolish or envious or gets oneself into trouble. So if we were to apply that in our life, there's a principle. Therefore, we shouldn't associate with, or taking in the positive, we should associate with people who are wise, who are not foolish, and we should take their association very deeply, and we should avoid the company of non-devotees. And therefore, the Nectar of Devotion, Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, makes such a strong statement. Prabhu, could you keep the door open a little bit? It is better, just imagine this strong statement. It is better to be locked in a cage with a tiger than to associate with people who are materially attached. And then sometimes it is said in the Vedic culture, when we read this, that when if they heard something improper, they would, the devotees would jump in the Ganga with all their clothes on. But that would be good for Guru travel if everyone had to do that. If every time they heard something that was very unfavorable, but. So then we come up with a question. If I'm not supposed to associate with envious people or foolish people or materialistic people, what's my life like? I associate with these people all the time. Materialistic people, people who are wasting their lives, and they're very convinced that the purpose of life is just material enjoyment. And okay, it's dangerous, because look what happened. And even with Kamsa, sometimes we read how he gets realizations that I've done, acted terribly, and then he associates with his ministers, and then he goes boing to the back to the opposite side, back to his demonic viewpoint. And we see this quite a few times. It's like table tennis with him, the way he goes back and forth and back and forth sometimes. So how can we practically, so we take a point and we note it, that this is very important for me, for my Krishna consciousness, but how do I practically apply this point to my life? So raise your hand, because so many of you have to confront this point. How do you deal with this? Please raise your hand, but don't raise them all at once, otherwise it will be overwhelming. Yes, how do you deal with this, Prabhu? So, okay, the positive, the strength of the positive. Because what happens if we associate, like Prabhupada said this in Melbourne 1974?
Five,
okay, in Town Hall. Town Hall 1975. So a person asked him, one of the devotees when he was speaking, he asked him, Prabhupada, how do you become sincere? And Prabhupada replied, how do you become a drunkard? If you want to become a drunkard, it's actually, I'm supplying more than Prabhupada said here, but it's very, very simple. Just associate with people whose pleasure in life is drinking alcohol. If you want to become addicted to this or that or this or that or this or that, you associate with people who have that addiction, and you'll catch it like the common cold and a cough and the flu. You'll catch it by association. And similarly, then Prabhupada said, do you remember what he said? He said, if you want to become sincere, you associate with them, and pointed to the devotees, which puts so much pressure on the devotees to be sincere, obviously. Sincere means, what's the opposite of the word sincere? That's maybe, how do you, because it's very difficult to define the word sincere. Yes, there we go. sincere, honest in one's endeavor to develop one's relationship with Krishna. Doesn't mean perfect, but it means honest in one's endeavor to develop one's relationship with Krishna as the prime part of their life. So good association, sadhu sangha, sadhu sangha, sava siddhi hoy, lava matra sadhu sangha, sava siddhi hoy, sava shastra hoy. So very important. So, okay, we get good association, and then what do we do with all our bad association? Especially if we have that four-letter word known as boss. Because if you have a boss, it's just natural that you want to please him. You have to please him. You want to please them. It's just natural. So what do we do about that kind of association? Just like the other cowherd boys did with Krishna. We give them prasadam, okay. But what happens when they say, oh, he's so nice, he gives me prasadam. I'll give him some of my prasadam. That's tricky.
It's better to give the books rather than prasadam.
Okay. Do you work in an office? University. Do you give your teachers books?
No, I give them my books.
Yeah, how nice. But in an office environment, it may not be the easiest thing. So what do you do with the people who are not interested? But yeah, that's wonderful. Both of these are nice ideas.
Everyone likes prasadam.
Cookie prasadam. Biscuit, very good. Something they can relate to easily. Raise your hand if you've ever given the people in your office, if you work in an office or anything like that, prasadam. Wow. How was the reaction? I guess everyone can call out all at once. Was it proper, favorable? Huh? Okay, what else? Books sometimes, yes, what else?
Tolerant.
Excuse me?
Tolerant.
Okay, be tolerant, what do you mean?
Just understanding that perhaps you need to leave them alone.
Okay, sometimes you certainly have to leave some of them alone. But what do you do about the point that you're supposed to avoid bad association? That was the point that we're making. So one point on that is give good association. Second point that is try to help the people, the innocent people, by giving them prasadam and perhaps books. Wait, Jess, you didn't raise your hand, and there are four corners here. We put all the naughty students in the corners. You have to raise your hand, okay? You can raise your hand, it's okay. What to do about the bad, being affected by bad association? Yes.
Don't take them seriously, like in terms of whatever. They have a lot of ideas.
Yeah, don't take their ideas. Don't associate very, very intimately with their ideas. One time someone asked Prabhupada, I've never read it anywhere, but I may have heard it from, you may be able to supply a reference. Someone said in an airport, what are you seeing, Prabhupada, when you're looking at all the people rushing here and there and other important things? What is your vision of them when you see that? What was the answer?
It was Upendra.
Upendra.
He speaks to the Prabhupada, and so the Prabhupada asked him, look around you. And he's in the airport, he looked around, and Prabhupada said, what do you see? And Upendra started to describe the people and what he saw. And then Srila Prabhupada responded and said,
there's no life there. They're not living, they're not alive. This is the conclusion of the Bhagavatam, second canto. That people, what is it compared to? Does anyone know? What is the person who is breathing but has no Krishna consciousness, not living as who he is? He's living as a mind, living as a body, but not living as himself, as a soul, as the person, as who he actually is. So what are they compared to, such person? The breathing of bellows. There's nothing really there. So, not to take it, there are wonderful thoughts, and my opinion is this, and my opinion is that, and my opinion involved in. You can't get mentally entangled in it, which, yeah, otherwise it could be dangerous. And is it easy to do this? I think to remain aloof completely from all the people you deal with. First of all, if you don't deeply associate, if you don't make friendship with devotees, and Prabhupada told us this in Hong Kong, if you don't make friendship with devotees, and I mean to say actual friendship, not Hari Bol Prabhu. If we don't have deep relationships with the devotees where one can have honest exchanges and trusted devotees, confidential devotees who we can open our hearts to, then life gets very lonely. So Prabhupada actually said, then, because we're social by nature, we can't live without friends and affection. Then we will be forced by the fact that we are social by nature to make friendship with non-devotees. He said this. And then we will not be able to follow the principles, you see. But yet the question still remains. How do you're in the midst, and I think the same thing happens in Crossways too, and the same thing happens to book distributors. That you're going and you're dealing with the material energy all the time. So how do you deal with that? How to protect oneself from the bad association? So I think I'm invincible, nothing can affect me. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, and this was in Calcutta in India, 60 years ago, no, not 60 years ago, over 80 years ago, he said that the temples are like forts. We need shelter. Otherwise the influence, the material energy is extremely powerful. So powerful. Mama Maya Dharatyaya. So how can we, because none of us can become completely isolated from the world. No one can do it. It's not recommended even to attempt that, because then you end up with the worst enemies as your only friend, and that's your mind. So how, what to do? We might not be able to do it perfectly, but what can we do to protect ourselves, to save ourselves from bad association when we have to deal with the material energy all the time? Yes? I'm going to ask quite a few devotees this, so if you can add something, please raise your hand. Yes?
Be engaged in the service.
Okay, be engaged in the service, but being engaged in service doesn't mean just doing the external activity, it means you have to have the mind also, right? Not just externally, but have the mind. I'm serving now. I'm a servant of Krishna. And this is my service, my offering to him. Yes? Because I've experienced it. You know, so many times I'm doing something externally with my body, but my mind is completely somewhere else where it shouldn't be. So we want to keep the mind and body fixed in service. Did you have something you wanted to say? Yes, Prabhu.
chanting?
Chanting, yes. Should we chant in our mind or aloud? Or softly or loudly? Loudly. Okay, but say if we're in a classroom. What year of school are you in?
Middle Park Primary.
What year?
Grade 3.
Grade 3. So if you just start, if you loudly start singing all the time with cartels in your classroom, it might not work. But sometimes it's really good, you know, when you're walking, when you can do it easily, wherever you are. You can sing loudly, and we sing, when I say louder, when I ask the devotees to sing louder, I mean louder than what? Louder than your mind is talking, basically. I'm louder than my mind is talking. So we chant in our mind, softly, loudly, but if we keep ourselves associating with Krishna through his holy names, if we can do this, we are so fortunate. I would say we are the most fortunate if we develop the habit and the ability to always chant Krishna's names. If we can do this, our life is perfect. And if we even try to do this, to constantly kirtaniya sadahari, even the attempt is glorious. And Krishna is always there. He makes himself available. Nam namakari bhuta niva sarva shakti tatapita nimitta smaranena kala itadrisi tava kripa bhagavan mamapi dudaiva mitri samihana. He makes himself available through the holy names. What else can we do? I'm going to call on someone who I haven't called on before.
If you let them know I follow the four regulated rules, that gives very little chance to be influenced by them.
They won't talk to you so much garbage, you're saying, if they know. But what do? You have a sign? Hi there, my name is Ann, I follow the four rules. Yes, any other ideas? I mean, I think it's very good to discuss this point, because we all have to deal with the material energy. Yes?
Sometimes when I'm working, my mind gets disturbed by the association, I just try to listen to some lecture or some kirtan in between, like lunchtime or something, so that actually that corrects the consciousness.
Yes. So how do you do that? You run to the temple? What do you do?
I have some lectures in the office computer, so I just play them or listen to some kirtan in my office computer.
Wow. Wonderful. Anyone else, any ideas? Or again, it's what to do when you're, even when the bad association is your mind. Yes, Prabhu.
Normally we have to analyze with the person which is good and bad, and what's the effect of some of the stories like Duryodhana, what happened, they end up his anger and things like that, and explain to him reaction like Newton's law, like apple.
Some preaching.
Action, reaction, opposite.
So you're saying that if there's an opportunity, you can preach to the person.
The reaction will be that, and follow this disciplined life.
So are you saying that you should think like that in your own mind, or you should preach to them?
Preach to him and tell him the reaction of what he's doing it, and the reaction of what we are doing it, where the result ends, and so on. We have to talk to him politely.
Yes. Thank you. Any other suggestions, opportunities, what we can do? Yes? Loudly?
Because of those unavoidable circumstances that you go through, but daily engage yourself in cleansing process.
So sadhana bhakti. Sadhana bhakti, to have a firm basis in sadhana bhakti. Yes? Thank you. Anyone else? I'd like to call. Yes? Keep below the radar, as they say. So do your duty in a nice way, an exemplary way, and mind your own business and don't get involved. Thank you. Any other advice? Yes? You do your duty.
Sometimes I find if you're driving in a car, even though you're free, you've been concentrated, you cannot remember those last kilometres you've actually driven. You're just too aware of where your mind is. And sometimes, also I find in a room where a conversation goes on, you haven't heard anything that's been said.
When you're doing focused. Let me ask you a question. If you're focusing on your duty, and you say you're in an office, if you're distributing books or something like that, or doing your puja that's focusing on Krishna, but say if you're in the office and your duty is quite mundane, so how can you connect that to Krishna in your mind? Otherwise, you're focusing on something mundane completely. Because then we end up, what I call it, like a divided life. Well, here's my devotional part of my life, and here's my non-devotional part of my life. And it's very hard to live in two different worlds. So how to keep the one, keep it as one world, and keep focus. Yes?
We offer the results to Krishna, and that keeps us...
We keep ourselves in a situation as someone mentioned that. Well, I'm a servant. And this, somehow or another, this is my engagement right now. And this is called Arupa Siddha Bhakti. The actual engagement isn't directly connected to Krishna, but it produces some results that can be offered to Krishna. So, therefore, it becomes service. But so we keep this in the mind. We want to stay as a servant. We want to stay in the consciousness of a servant of our master. So one has to be in the mood of servant, and one needs a master and surrendered to that. So, yeah, interesting topic. Okay, I think we've got over time already. So we'll end here. Thank you. I'm sure there's so many more practical ideas that you could all share with each other as you talk, how to survive and flourish in our Krishna consciousness and our service in Kali Yuga. In Kali Yuga, it is doshanadhe. It is full of faults. It is, and the faults are all pervading. Sukadev Goswami says to Maharaj Prakriti, they're everywhere. Dravya desh atma sambhava. They're everywhere in everything and even in every person. And then we can be sincerely being a servant one moment and be attracted to something completely the opposite to being a servant the next moment. So because the faults and contaminations of Kali Yuga are everywhere, but it's in our interest to place Krishna firmly in our hearts. And then Savam Harati Chitto Sto. If we do that, contamination's gone. So if we try to deepen our surrender by good association, by good sadhana, deepen it. Surrender means I am Krishna's. Deepen that. By good hearing, good chanting, good service, and by proper discrimination as to what is actually our welfare and what is against our welfare. We have to make decisions and do what's favorable for increasing our devotion. So a very good topic to discuss with your friends. How do you How do you survive? Exchange your secrets. How do you survive and flourish despite the bad association that Kali Yuga inevitably offers? Thank you very much. Prabhupada ki jai. Sisi Gonatai ki jai. Sisi Radhabalava. Sisi Gonatai. Sisi Jagannath Baldev Subhadra Devi ki jai. Prabhupada.